QSC, QSC. This is Tom Fry, KSXQ. Net control for the Tech Tuesday Net, 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBRC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, .bbarc.org. That's www.bbarc.org. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, we have a couple of announcements here. First off, of course, if you do not know, we are under red flag warning conditions. This will be from now on through Friday afternoon, I believe. So please be careful out there. Be fire aware. All eyes and ears and radios, always a good help. Another thing today, I spent probably a good hour and a half, courtesy of Harry and Nancy Hintz, at their house. They invited Hans, AE6TV, up to discuss IRLP. I have to suggest that you please visit his site. This guy has got an incredible amount of information there and a lot of gear up and running. So, unfortunately, I did believe he was with Amateur TV, but that's his original call. I found that out today. So, anyway, Hans, thanks a bunch if you're listening, and maybe we can get your web address here later on. All right. Well, tonight our topic will be pulling from QST of May 2013. We're going to take a look, a good close look at this Hendrix single sideband transceiver kit. Pretty cool. They have a couple kits here. We will background on that, and the good thing about building a kit has all the parts, everything is there. You know that if you do it right, it's going to work when you're done. That's a big plus. And a lot of fun, too. If you like building stuff, it's a big difference of building something and then turning it on and having it work. All right, anyway, but before we do that, let's get our roster underway here, starting with WB6CLZ Mike, who I believe is in Placentia.
Yes, we are, at least for a little while. Good evening, Tom and Ned. This is WB6CLZ.
And good evening there, Mike. Booming in here as usual. Good signal. How about WB6CIN, Cindy?
This is WB6CIN in Placentia also.
Cindy, glad to have you out there. By the way, those daylilies are doing great. Want to let you know. Next, I have KA6CIA George in Lucerne Valley.
Good evening, Tom. KA6CIA.
Good evening there, George. Glad to have you out there. Appreciate you being with us this evening. I'm not sure if they're listening. Sometimes they get pretty tied up. Let's try KE6RJ and KE6QI. They may be pretty busy. They had a busy day ahead of today. So, all right, next I have KJ6HCS Mike. Oh, he's probably tracking a bear or something out there, or a coyote. How about WA6IATC, Rod?
Yeah, from Mike Williams, WA6IATC.
And good evening there, Rod. Glad to have you out there. How about KJ6FIL, Mike?
Good afternoon.
KJ6FYL.
And good afternoon there, Mike. Thanks for the info, though, that Highway 38 is open. I do want to announce that. I forgot. But to all of those who do not know that, it's back open. They got done real quick, I guess, so pretty good deal. We need that highway. All right, moving on to KJ6 KDL Jim and KJ6 KDK Rosemary.
KJ6 KDL here with
KDK.
We have to get a call sign for your two dogs, too. They're always there, too. I know they are. Glad to have you both with us this evening. Appreciate that. Alrighty, well, up here yet? How about KI6IQA Kelly? And I haven't heard there. How about, and I heard him on earlier, K6GBL Ron?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is Ron, K6GBL from Green Valley Lake.
And forward to your presentation, if you're still on for that, in May. Big Bear Amateur Radio Club meeting in May, if you still can, appreciate that. Anyway, next I have AD6PL Herald and Riverside.
Raffles at your meetings?
I think we doubled there. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was wondering if you do door prizes or raffles at the meetings.
It would be a negative. That's something we've just not done. So, anyway, well, you can always tell. We can talk later about that. Appreciate that. Alrighty, next, how about AD6PL Harold?
Evening, AD6PL. You're dropping out more often, Tom. AD6PL.
Yeah, I can't help that. That's that interference we have with the repeater. So please bear with it. About to change the equipment out, see if that makes any difference. Next, I also have K9AOG, Stephen in Long Beach.
Good evening, this is Stephen, K9AOG in Long Beach, hoping to be in Big Bear tomorrow night.
Oh, very good, Stephen. Glad to have you back up here. It's beautiful weather up here. All right, next I have, let's see, moving on down. No, they're not back. How about KJ6PYV, Dave?
Good evening, Tom and Annette, KJ6PYV.
And good evening there, David. Glad to have you out there. How about K2BBL, Alan Moonridge? All right, nothing out there from Alan this evening. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Good evening, K6YNW.
Good evening there, Chris. Hope you guys are staying cool down there. I know it's getting hotter. How about W6POO, Chip?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is Whiskey 6, Papa Oscar Oscar, here in windy and still hot Palm Springs. It's 85 degrees outside.
Oh, but that's a dry heat, right? It's a dry heat. It's so hot. Anyway, all right. You guys take care. How about Ron, WA6HF? Nothing out there from Ron. How about KD6LAN Bill? Oh, he's probably out cutting wood or something. I don't know. WA6DLB, Donna. Nothing heard. Let's see. We got Shelly out there. KJ6QYN. Shelly.
KJ6QYN, Mobile, Apple Valley, 75 degrees. Thanks, and I'll be listening in. I got my bride sitting next to me.
Well, good deal there, Shelly, and hello to her. And glad you're listening in this evening. Appreciate that. 75, that's not bad. RD. And I've heard from Rick. Moving on to page 2, AE6CK, Victor.
Good evening, Tom and Bernard. Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
All right, Victor. glad to have you out there. This is KO62 Tech Tuesday in the group, every Tuesday that we can. Glad you're out there. Next, I have KA6ROD Rod. And nothing heard. How about KB6LTY Christy? Nothing heard there. How about W6JET Rob?
Good evening to the net. W6JET made it up from the desert through Sugarloaf and down 38 and back to Temple City in time for the net. W6JET.
Good deal there, Rob. I hope that everything is well. I know you're doing some refurb down there. And, yeah, glad to hear you out there. Glad you did that. And see, I have somebody on Echo Lake here, so I'll give him a little space here. I have KJ6RAY, Ray.
Good evening, Tom. KJ6RAY. Good evening, everybody.
All right, Ray, got you in there, solid, Echolink, and glad you could check in with us. All right, let's see what else I have here. I know I'm hoping I have WA6MQF. Bob, are you out there?
Sure. Good evening to everybody in the net. WA6MQF here in Downey. I may be in and out, but I'm here now. Over.
All right, Bob, glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. And that's pretty much most of my list. I'm sure I missed somebody here. So if I missed you, please come back. Or if you're a guest would like to check in, please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
KF6Q, KC6, J3.
Edison Tustin, checking in.
All right, we got a couple people out there. I think one in Tustin and got the other one just before that. Appreciate you listening in. Anybody else?
Hey, Tom, good evening. W6AWL working on dinner here. Just it's an important fact that they all recognize we are under a red flag, at least through Friday. Appreciate that. We'll be here listening. W6AWL.
Roger that. Art did give that announcement, but it's always good as a reminder. All right. Anybody else out there?
KE6EML, Don in Big Bear City.
Don in Big Bear City. Hey, local guy up here. Glad to have you out there listening to Tech Tuesday. Anybody else?
KC6JHV.
Glad to have you with us this evening. Thanks for listening in. Try to do this every Tuesday if we can. Anybody else?
KJ6WIP Reinhardt down here in Highland.
Reinhardt, got you in here from Highland. You need to get back up here to Big Bear. It's cooler up here. Glad to have you out there. Anybody else? All right, I think we got most everybody in there and a couple new visitors in there. Love to have you with us this evening. Really great. We do this every Tuesday. Try to pull stuff out of the most current issue of QST Magazine. But we also try to explain stuff as we go along. So if you don't have the magazine, try to make sure that we give you a good visual picture. Well, anyway, Mike, real quick there, that quick ID is not the ID of the repeater. From that email you sent me, that's actually the Echolink link identifying itself, so it's a whole other station. But it's still backed by K6BB. Well, anyway, Mike, pretty cool. Hendrix, this is a, I guess you'd call it a QRP type of transceiver, and what does that mean?
QRP is low power. Actually, this is the high end of QRP. QRP is for us purists, considered to be 5 watts or less, which this transceiver will do. But it'll actually put out a full 10 watts, and I think the ARRL Laboratories squeezed 11 watts out of it. So a low power radio that is a lot of fun. Back to you, Tom.
Very cool. And what we're dealing with this evening is from Mark J. Wilson. It's K1RO. And he has, of course, his email is k1ro@arrl.org. And this is a Hendrix, it's called the BIT X17A. It's a 17-meter single sideband transceiver kit. Pretty cool. It is a kit. It's something you're going to put together. And it's meant for people who like to put things together and save a couple of dollars. You're going to save actually quite a bit. I think this thing runs about $180. However, we'll get into that a little bit later on. There's always ways to save money if you've got some of these parts. So, anyway, but that's why they have the kit. So you don't have to buy the parts. So, anyway, well, Mike, I've been reading through here, and this originally came from another ham some time back who started this out, from Ashar Farhan. I don't know if I pronounced that right. VU2ESE. And Mike, real quick, where is the VU? What prefix is that?
Would be India. VU2 is an Indian station, not a Native American station, but the country of India. I looked him up, and he's got a pretty neat little QRZ page.
Well, pretty good. Anyway, he came out with this, and if you've ever built anything where you've had a bunch of parts there and you're throwing something together, we have a couple different things we call it, and one of them is ugly construction, bug construction. We basically tack solder some pieces onto a perf board. We just got a few pads on it here and there, copper pads, nothing organized, looks really ugly. And sometimes it's really a miracle if it even works, but generally it does if you're paying attention. And this is how he threw this thing together, from people who like to build stuff from salvage parts, spare parts, things like that, surplus parts. So something you could basically throw together. And it has been refined since then. Let me reset. And a buddy of mine and I used to build stuff the same way, except we didn't call it dead bug construction or ugly construction, because we called it spider construction. We just didn't clip the leads. We had all these long leads connecting to each other for very simple stuff, and it looked like a giant spider or spider web. And it, too, was pretty neat when it worked. If it didn't work, it made a big flash anyway. That was cool, too. All right, anyway, moving on down through here. I see here that Doug Hendricks decided to make this into a kit. And Mike, what can you help me out with there? What did he, you know, he actually got a PC, they got a team together and did all this stuff. What did they do?
Got an experienced team together, and they created the PCB board layout and resolved some issues that came up with it, and to where they could make it reproducible with a stable design. But they also recommend too that you join their Yahoo group, and I'll put a little blurb in for that. I'm on the Yahoo group, two Yahoo groups for both of my transceivers. Very good to join. I would highly recommend anybody that has any ham gear to join the Yahoo groups concerning that gear. And a lot of information is passed back and forth. You can ask questions. Really a lot of information there. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday and the group. We can do that. We can. And that's pretty neat. Yeah, there's quite a few Yahoo groups I belong to besides the CERT and ECS and all that stuff. And the cool part is that if you sign up with them, you can actually have some postings automatically forwarded to you as email. And that's kind of neat, too, because if somebody does something different or has a new question or something, you know, I mean, the worst case scenario, you can always delete it from your email, but kind of keep abreast of what's going on there. So that's pretty cool. So anyway, Mike, let's move ahead here. Now, let's see, they have other kits. Now, this is a 17-meter, but they also have a 20-meter?
USL, that would be the BIT X20A for 20 meters. Also a good band where you can work a lot of DX with 10 watts. 14 is, I think, a better band because it's a little higher when the MUF is that high, but both really good DX bands for low power.
Well, anyway, now keep in mind, this is a kit, so this is for people who like to build kits, or if you've never built a kit, hey, this could be a starter. Neat thing about kits are this. Number one, with this PC board, of course, it's all well designed. A lot of these parts will press through the holes, and you know, if you've got some basic soldering skills, that helps, you know, because you want to make sure you do a good job there. But you will probably develop some good skills by the time you're done, because there's a lot of stuff here to solder. They have all the parts mounted in these little styrofoam blocks. That's pretty cool. And then they have bags of stuff, too. But anyway, pretty well marked, most of the stuff. So, you know, pretty neat. Like with any kit, I think anybody else out there who's ever built a kit, it's really that great feeling when you finish up. If you're a fanatic like me, you don't even go to bed. You work all night long. It's just addicting. Mike, have you ever built a kit like that?
Have. I've built several Heath kits, but I'm kind of a lightweight. I take my time and do it slow. I don't stay up all night. But yeah, built two or three Heath kits. Let's see. One of them was a low-band transmitter, an AT1. Just kind of simple stuff. Back to you, Tom.
Comment. We're not going to let Bob do any comments tonight, by the way, so we're just going to ignore him. No, Bob, you go ahead. Go ahead, Bob. WA6MQF. KS6Q Tech Tuesday and the group.
You're probably better off sticking to your guns. I built all of my K2 from kit. I got the cheapest, basic part of the thing up and running. Then I added the single sideband and the DSP and the 100-watt amp and all of the options. And somebody has already worked out the design, and as long as you're getting the parts from the company, there's a fairly high likelihood that if you put it together correctly, it will work. I enjoyed it for about a year, and I mean, for a year's fun and a radio you can use, that's not a bad deal. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, pretty cool there, Bob. You know, and I think I can remember two kits I built. One of them actually was an oscilloscope. Pretty cool little, what do you call it, audio, low-end TV oscilloscope. I think 3 megahertz or 5 megahertz, vertical amp. And I also built an ICO style, I'm not sure. Anyway, it's a VTVM. And back in the day, the best voltmeters around, multimeters, were VTVMs. You could not beat them. They had all that high impedance, all that accuracy, and a big, big analog meter that you could read. Even if you needed glasses, you didn't need them. You could still read it. Pretty cool. So, a lot of good fun there. And I still have those. I just, you know what? Don't want to let them go. Well, anyway, Mike, let's get in here. And got a lot of cool parts. I guess, Mike, a lot of these kits, you still have to supply your own soldering iron, solder, and stuff like that, correct?
Yeah, soldering iron, solder, eyewear, in case you're half-blind like I am, and Tom, maybe you are too. you have to have basic test equipment. They recommend a signal generator, digital VOM, dummy load, watt meter, oscilloscope with the diode probe, as they say, is helpful also. So the more test equipment you have, I built the same VTVM, that ICO, and I don't have it anymore. It was worth more on eBay than it was in my hands. But basic test equipment is really a kind of a must to build something like this. Thank you.
And the cool stuff is I actually have 5 or 6 more I've collected. So maybe it is time to get the eBay there. Yeah, turn that stuff into cash. I don't know. Anyway, well, that is very, very cool. Yeah, and you know what? If you don't have all that test equipment, do not get discouraged. There's a lot of us out here and a lot of people out there. You know, that's the best of the best. If you want to have all the best equipment to set this thing up, but there's always alternative methods. and Ways and Means, and that would be the ultimate if you wanted that. But basically, if you had a little signal generator of some sort and a little, at least a meter, dummy load's kind of cool, you know, so you don't have to be adjusting it on the air. You know, so there's other stuff there that is always cool to have. But, you know, as a kit builder, you probably should have like a VOM, which basically is a voltmeter, ohmmeter, kind of test stuff, you know, so you can kind of measure things in case things go wrong. Hopefully they don't. You know, and then the other stuff really gets into the point where, yeah, if you have it's great. If not, find somebody out here in the radio's got one. There's a lot of us do. And a lot of people like to help people out here. So let me reset. Well, anyway, of course, if you had a full-on lab, you know, testing lab to set it up, it'd probably be pretty cool. But, doggone it, that's half the fun, is getting the thing to get tuned up and whatever. And, Mike, I see that this is about $180. Now, that's not pocket change, but, you know, you're going to spend some probably anywhere from $300 to $500, even from eBay. I used radio on eBay. It may have a few more bells and whistles. It may have a few more bands. The key point here with this is you're going to save a few bucks, and you're going to have fun building it. That's the main thing. And, Jim, are you out there listening? And have you ever had experiences with kits?
Hey, Tom. Yeah, I'm here just reading away. And, especially in my youth, building kits and... that was fun when I was younger, first learning. My first kit was an Allied shortwave radio kit, which was about probably two-thirds the complexity of this. Took a while to put together. A little more room on the board, probably the same size as this one, 4.5 by 5.5 inches. And, that was great. The book had this comment in the front, thank you for purchasing this product. Have fun assembling, take your time, be careful, cross-check your work, and remember at the end, to plug it in before you turn it on. And I laughed at that, and then I laughed again when I turned it on at the end and I'd forgotten to plug it in, and I couldn't figure out why it wouldn't work for a while. So, yeah, these are fun. And I listened to the Maritime Service on 1.1 megahertz, the tonal time will be, and a bunch of other stations when I was a kid. Very cool.
You know, and one thing here, which I thought this was actually... pre-assembled, but it's not. And if you've ever been out there and worked with electronic components, the old style ones, that actually the ones you can see and actually grab with your hands and not tweezers, that's all good and well. But they do have one little board here that's got surface mount components. And if you haven't actually ever done anything with that, first off, number one, the parts are small. So you gotta get some really good goggles on with magnifying glasses. It's only one board. It's got just a few components on it. And if you don't or have never soldered anything on surface mount, there's a couple little tricks there. However, the good part is there are great websites out there. Trying to find there. They actually had one which was basically Surface Mount 101. But if you actually Google up surface mount, you know, construction, you're going to come up with thousands and thousands of sites. A lot of good information, a couple little extra things you need, soldering paste, whatever, you know, make sure those things get soldered right. Anybody out there who is listening, has ever worked with surface mount, please come back. Yes, Harold, go ahead.
Right, I haven't done anything with surface mount, but I did do a lot of work with firearms and other stuff. And you have a lot of little small things that have to go in small places. I bought a unit called Optivizer, OPTI-PISER, from Brownhill's Gunsmithing in Iowa. You can buy plates, they call the lenses plates, because that's what they are, basically. They'll fit over, and you buy different magnifications. They have a 5-time lights that goes on the one corner of it, so you can flip that down over your plate. They fit over glasses comfortably, and highest quality that I can think of, AD6PL.
And you know, I carry around here on my bench in just about every place. I got about three or four of these, and they're magnifying glass. Most of these that you get are about 2-to-1. Then they have a little insert that's 10-to-1, and I actually use that 10-to-1 more often than not to look at surface mount stuff, just the ID parts. Real cool thing about surface mount stuff is if you salvage parts or keep parts, it doesn't take up a lot of room, that's for sure. And there's a lot of it out there. Yeah, it's a whole different world. The picture they have of this board, and it's got a bunch of stuff on it, they put a penny next to it, and you're like, wow, okay, well, it is pretty small. So the guy who first put this together, they were like, well, okay, yeah, and he tried it, and you'd be surprised that it really, it's doable. Couple tricks, Surface Mount 101, it's a website, Google that, and you'll learn that some of that stuff and actually takes a lot of the challenge. The challenge is still there, but it takes a lot of the mystery out. Next thing you know, you're soldering stuff. You'll find it's actually easier. Anyway, Mike, any comments on that?
You touched on something that's near and dear to my heart. I highly recommend YouTube videos and Googling anything. I mean, there is anything you want to know in the electrical trade. I don't know it all, obviously, but we can Google things, we can YouTube video things, and learn things right away that you need to know. So I highly recommend YouTube videos and Google. Back to you, Tom.
And I do too, and I actually, you know, as anybody who's grew up without the internet, and that's most of us out there, where if you wanted information, you either went to a store and bought the book, or you went to the library and checked it out, or, or you ordered it through mail order, and of course that was like a 2-week adventure. There was no go online and order anything. It was get a money order and send it off in an envelope with a stamp, a real stamp. Anyway, so times have changed, and actually definitely for the good. Anybody else out there, any questions or comments, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group.
Hey, D6PL.
Yes, Errol, go ahead.
The people that saved their ARRL magazines, if you go back to the indexes and find it, they had about 8 or 10 years ago, it seems like they had an extremely good multi-month little tutorial on surface mount technology and how to use it properly. They even had a little goodie there to hold your board and to move your, show you how to pick up your parts and put them down without getting your hands on them or touch them, and had a little beam come out with a point on it to hold it in place while you cremated it, and the whole works, AD6PL.
You know, that's one thing. There's also other non-ham magazines, but like Nuts and Bolts, also a very good periodical out there, long-running, Electronica. There's countless magazines out there, and a lot of that stuff out there is available online. And some of these, you can get some of the past issues, picking up buying a CD, pick up maybe 2 or 3 years of the WAC or whatever, or at least a year. A lot of stuff out there, and even online, they'll have some stuff that you can read without subscribing. Once you see all this stuff, it's fantastic. So you can actually go beyond what we see here for building. And I know we talked about that last month. It's pretty neat. Building stuff is cool. I mean, it's a neat feeling. It's a neat feeling to do stuff. And if it doesn't come out right, do not get discouraged. Mike, have you ever built something and it didn't come out right?
Yeah, I did. It was a little, I think, I don't remember the number, but it was a keyer, a little heat kit keyer. And I spent, I don't know, I was quite a bit younger then, so probably wasn't as long as it seemed like, but I think I spent probably a week or so trying to get that thing right. And in the end, I had misread a resistor, and it was as simple as that, but it took me a while to find it. Yeah, I'll admit it. Back to you, Tom.
You know, on the scope I put together, too, actually, they had a good schematic. Schematic was good. And for all of you out there, if you don't know how to read a schematic, actually a pretty cool thing to start learning how to do. Kind of like a blueprint for electronics, pretty neat. Learned how to do that a long time ago. Don't even remember how or why. It just happened, I guess. But I do know I wasn't born that way, so I had to learn it sometime. But anyway, that scope I built, actually they have pretty cool, it has actually, not pictures, but detailed drawings of showing, you know, and all, at that time, that's all terminals and soldering and tube sockets and little Bakelite little things with terminal tabs. And they actually showed something getting hooked up wrong. Now, you're tending to follow the pictures and not the schematic. And I actually followed the directions there, but it didn't work. I had to trace it back. So not only did I build a scope, I had to troubleshoot it just to get it to work. That was interesting, okay. But, yeah, and I know there's been a few projects that just seemed like, you know, they just didn't come out right, and you shelf them, maybe you're discouraged, but hey, always get back in there, pick it back up. Don't just fall short of that, because you can do it. Got to stick with it. Anyway, anything you'd like to share with that failure mode? Bob, you never make any mistakes. I know you don't. Back, Bob, if you're out there, W6MQF, KF6Q. I think we lost Bob. How about Jim?
I don't know if that was Bob catching in there, but I remember building a small kit in electronics class. I had just two transistors in it. I forget exactly what it was supposed to do, but I remember burning $10 at the electronics lab window, buying replacement transistors and following the schematic, have my instructor watch and say, it looks perfect, we'll plug it in, and then the transistor would pop. So every now and then that happens.
Comment.
Yeah, real quick before your comment there, Harold. Yeah, I think I've mentioned this before. I had somebody returning Zener diodes back to West Covina Electronics because they were blown, and of course that's long before, 13, 14 years old, you do not know what a load resistor is, okay? But I did learn because the guy quit taking the Zener diodes back. That was my first step. Anyway, go ahead, Harold, KF6Q.
I screwed up big time building I was going to build a power supply and went to Radio Shack and I got it out of a magazine or something and went to Radio Shack and bought all the stuff, went back and put it all together very carefully, took my time. Fortunately, I set it on the floor, and I set it on a 1x6 pine board. Plugged it in, reached over, and I learned a long time ago, when something is brand new, even if it's from a factory, you don't lean over it and turn it on. I reached over from a distance, flipped the button, and I thought I had mastered the art of making a miniature nuclear weapon. A massive blue-white flash, a thunderous crash, and a mushroom cloud went up to the ceiling, and I yanked the cord out. I rolled backward as I yanked the cord out. I looked over, and nothing was on fire, so I had to run outside real quick and tell all the neighbors that
don't call the cops. I'm not building bombs over here. I'm building a kit, and it didn't work the way I thought it would. But, yeah, I thought I was going to have the fire department and the cops both on my back. AD-60.
Well, at least you had good safety procedures there, and you didn't get hurt, and I guess there was no collateral damage, but I'm assuming that whatever it was, beyond salvage and repair?
No way I could do an autopsy on it. It was, everything in it was crisp. It was just one melted, mangled pile of parts and scrap. So I gave up on building my own power supply. 86 fuel.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's one thing is that, you know, sometimes it's best to buy the stuff. I had a similar experience when I was about 10, inventing television with cellophane and lightweight telephone wire wrapped back and forth under it so that you get a picture. I don't know how, but it was supposed to make a picture. And, of course, what you got to power it, so hook that into a 120 volts. I'm not going to even go any further with that. We'll touch on that some other time. Talk about a flash. Well, anyway, this is pretty cool, and like I said, it's a neat article here. I'd say that if you've got a good inclination to doing a kit, this is one of the best here to pick from. Mike, anything to add to this before we close this topic?
And the price is right, too. I mean, for anything in this type of thing, you're going to pay a lot more for brand-new prices. But naturally, you can get a lot of gear for less money. Some of the old Heathkit HW17 or the old Heathkit QRP rigs are a little bit less, quite a bit less than this on the secondary market. But for a new rig, for the enjoyment you're going to get out of building this, definitely worth the price of admission. Back to you, Tom.
You know, this thing is so small. I mean, I'm looking at the dimensions here, about 2.5 inches by 6 inches by 6 inches. I mean, that is tiny. Only weighs a little over a pound, pound and a quarter. That's small. And like I say, you know, of course you're going to be building this, so can't be all thumbs here. You've got to be able to get that thing together. And I'd say the biggest challenge of that kit's probably going to be that surface mount board with... Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, probably about a dozen or a dozen, maybe a dozen, less than two dozen parts. But, hey, you know, it's doable, and there's magic, and there's ways to make that stuff just stick exactly where it's supposed to. So, pretty cool. I don't know if we have Bob out there. Bob, any comments if you're out there, or did we lose you?
I have another one.
Okay, I think we lost Bob, but go ahead there, Mike.
Might add that a dipole for this band is only about 26 feet, so real easy to make an antenna for something like this. Back to you.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You can actually string that up in your house and maybe go through a couple rooms and doors, but that's okay. You know, just make sure the XYL is good with it. Anyway, Jim, anything else to add before we close the topic?
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Yeah, I just want to point out for those who don't have the manual or the QST book in hand, this is considered a medium complexity kit. It's not super complex. It's a compound kit because there are a lot of parts to put in. So you do have to set aside some time and be patient. Anybody who built models as a kid and got into the really fancy ones, remember all those weekends of putting things together. If you raced and put the decals on quickly, they came out wrinkled. If you painted in a hurry, it looked ugly. You just have to take your time and, unlike me, make sure you don't cut your finger with the X-Acto blade while you're breaking stuff out, and you should be good. But if you do have the electronic QST, along with the some of the notes in here, I do want to point out on both the print and electronic that on the third page when they're talking about putting together the daughter board, I did get a kick out of the comment from what's the guy putting it together? I just switched the page. He accidentally got a surface mount resistor stuck on the tip of his iron, and he flipped it to clean it and never found that resistor again. But luckily, his lab assistant had an identical replacement in his bin of parts. So if you don't have a lab, when you don't have a bin of parts, be careful when you have a lot of little parts and they're hard to come by. And then there was a little interesting kink listed in the article about a birdie and a chirp in the circuit. And I looked at the frequency listed, and it's almost midway in the band. And I looked at, I went to QRP Kits, downloaded the PDF. It's up on the website now. And I looked at the schematic, and there is a resistor mod. I don't know if it's trying to fix it or if it's causing it, but Bob MQF might have a fun time looking at that to see if that actually is causing the problem or fixing it. Other than that, this is if you're into kits, great. It's missing a few things. I would do my Beecher thing and put my expander compressor on here for the mic and speaker to clean it up. Might even consider a DSP speaker later to get better sound, but good starter kit. KJ6KDL, back to you.
Well, good deal. That's all good information out there. Yeah, kit building is kind of a neat thing to do. It's real similar to building with models, except you don't need the glue. Your soldering iron is the weapon of choice. And with all that said and done with, of course, take all the precautions. They are hot. And if you are like me, probably burnt yourself quite a few times and probably will burn yourself more in the future. It's just one of those things. It just happens. But anyway, but with all a good little soldering, of course, soldering iron for this, you want to use something like a pencil tip, something really small, especially for that surface mount stuff. And you know what? If you're a fanatic like me, you want to stay up all night and do it, that's great. Something like this, though, take your time. You know, follow very closely what you're doing, pay attention, double-check stuff, and you're probably going to have a great amount of success, a whole lot of fun, and hey, you know what, once you get into building that stuff, it's going to be great. So anyway, website is www.qrpkits.com, that's www.qrpkits.com, and I'm sure they have a lot more information there and on the Yahoo group. All right, last call for any questions or comments.
I'm one more comment.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Anybody that has the digital or can access the digital version of QST, there's a nice little video on this rig, and it is presented by Bob Allison, WB1GCM. And Tom or Jim, would you mention the web address of the Tech Tuesday website again for us, please? Thank you.
Okay, have I got it? Yeah, actually, well, we have a website up that Jim has for, actually, this is for all of the audio recordings of all the Tech Tuesdays way back. Started way, actually about 6 months after we started, so, and there's very few he's missed. Fine job he's done there, and he's carrying that on his own personal. One of these days we will actually have the TechTuesday.org will be up and running. It's a lot of work, and it's a work of love that I just don't have enough time for right now. But we'll get it going. But in the meantime, Jim's got all the audio stuff. Jim, you want to give us that web address? Go ahead.
Yes, Tom, it's my call sign, but it's a secure website, so it's https for secure, /Kilo Juliet 6 Kilo Delta Lima.com. It's not a pretty site, but if you click on the Tech Tuesday link, you'll see a calendar list, and I did miss some stuff last summer. I've got the recordings, just was really busy and didn't have time to convert them. When we're done here, I'm going to try to get tonight's audio up sometime tonight, because my schedule is such that if I don't get to it right away, I might not get to it for a while. So try to keep that current. So if you want to go back and listen, the audio is there.
And Jim, all of us out here, thank you. I especially thank you for doing this. This is all volunteer work you've done. Greatly appreciated, and you've done an excellent job with that. We still have the TechTuesday.org is still in limbo. It is our, we do have that reserved, and hopefully, and I say that with great reservation, we will get that up and running, hopefully sooner than later. Unfortunately, it's like anybody else. If you're busy Monday through Friday, and if you have a ton of things on your to-do list when you're not out there plugging away, time is short. So anyway, thanks everybody here, and let me reset. I want to thank everybody who joined us this evening. If you're still out there listening, all the guests who joined us, greatly appreciate you jumping in there and listening. We always try to pull something really cool from the most current QST magazine. If you're not getting QST, that means you're probably not a member of the ARRL. And for $39 a year, you can be a member. You get a whole lot of stuff. Great source of information. The magazine alone is worth that. And a lot of other stuff they have online. So recommend that you join. Help support us in Congress. Keeps all our frequencies as ours and not disappearing. Best thing there is out there for ham radio. So anyway, let me reset real quick. QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, and the group. Acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday Net, will be closing this evening at 1900 hours, 59 minutes. Greatly, again, thanks for all the help from Mike, from Bob, and from everybody else, Jim, for participating this evening, and all the rest of you for listening in. Hopefully we see you next week, right here, same time, 1900 hours on the K6BB repeater. Everybody take care. Have a safe week. Return the repeater back to normal use. This is KF6Q.